today on Real Radio.
And you say, no, you know, I'm not going to bother God with my little trivial problems. I'll let him answer the prayers of those who have greater needs than me. What kind of God are you talking about? What kind of God is he? Do you know, have you ever thought of such a thought? That's carnal. Stop acting like this.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called God's Word is Always True, Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, God called the prophet Isaiah primarily to the nation of Judah and to the city of Jerusalem. God wanted Judah to turn away from their sins and return to him so that he could continue to bless them. Now, Isaiah is also called the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament because God used him not only to share the good news of the coming Messiah, but also what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In part one of this message from Isaiah chapter 7, we were reminded of how God is bound to his word and that his word is true and it lasts forever. God also values his word above his own name. And when Judah faces war from the north, Isaiah tells them not to panic or to lose heart. God will not allow the invasion to happen. God's protection has been promised to no other nation than Israel. And plans to ultimately destroy Israel, well, they're never going to succeed. Now in part two, we'll continue to see God's faithfulness in keeping his promises. So today on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that justice is part of God's divine nature, but mercy is given to Judah even though Ahaz was an evil king with too much authority and power for such a young age. He refused to listen to his advisors, so God intervenes for the sake of the nation. And now continuing his lesson called God's Word is Always True, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I don't know about you guys, but I think that leaders, it's okay for a leader to come up and say, look, I'm not exactly sure how to run this state, but I was voted in, I'm trying real hard, and I'm gonna amass to me people who know what to do. You know, you guys, Ronald Reagan is almost rock star status or legendary, almost mystical. You want to know why he was such a great leader? Have you ever read his books? I got his books. You ever read his books? Ronald Reagan, he was like George Washington. Maybe he learned this from Washington's writings. You know, Washington was amazing. In fact, he was so amazing, the United States wanted to make him king. Did you know that? And when you go to the nation's capital and you see what's called the Ascension of Washington, you know the rotunda, you know the capital of the United States? Did you know what's at the top? A painting of George Washington being received by angels into the presence of God. That's at the top. Did you know that? He was made like a saint. He was such a great leader. Washington, in his own writings, makes it very clear. In those areas that I don't know about, I seek out those who do know and put them on my side. Did you know Ronald Reagan did that? Yes. He was radical as governor of this state. He was radical as a president, and the world loved him. Why? Because he was just so smart. But he said, I wasn't that smart. But he said, I was smart enough to know this. The stuff I didn't know, I would go find the person who did know. And he got the credit for it. He knew who, allow me to put it this way. He knew who to hire. That is awesome leadership. When you have the honesty and the wisdom to say, I don't know, but this guy knows, and I'm gonna put him on staff. I'm gonna put him in my cabinet. That's brilliant. That's the way to lead. Ahaz wouldn't listen to Isaiah. What would happen today, ladies and gentlemen, church, we're praying for revival. What if a man walked onto the steps of the Supreme Court or the Capitol building and said, thus saith the Lord, repent from your sins, wash your hands, seek God and live and call the nation to prayer. Do you know what we would do as a country? We would probably have him arrested. You can't say that on state property. And no, we're not going to pray. Don't you think it's time that the nation be called to prayer? Amen. And you say, yes, I do. Yes, I do. But here's the thing. Here's the part where I get convicted is, yes, but I shouldn't wait for Jerry Brown to call the state to prayer. We should pray. And listen, we do pray. The thing is, do you show up to pray? I guarantee you, if I announce this if I announce that this coming Sunday, no Bible study, no worship, only prayer, God's people come and pray for our nation. Do you know what? The sanctuary would be an eighth full each service. People would not come. Think of it. It's true. It's not bad enough yet. We're not trusting in God yet. And Ahaz makes an alliance with the king of Assyria. And while he's there, by the way, visiting the king, he sees what's going on, and he adopts some of these pagan worship practices. Well, in fact, it's tragic. We get now into the second argument, you guys. Mark this down. Point number two is history. God's word is always true, and history is an eyewitness to his word. Are you ready to go fast now, church? Are you ready? Verse 10, moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, again, the most wicked king that Judah ever had. And the Lord says, you better mark this because he doesn't say this very often. Ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask either in the depth or in the height above. Now, God is saying to Ahaz, ask a sign of me. I want to speak to you. Listen, church, I'm tempted to say, wouldn't you want God to ask you that today? Believe me, don't say yes. Number one, he's given us his word. The answer is already here. Like, Pastor, I'm just waiting to hear a word from the Lord. Read right here. No, I want to hear it supernaturally. I want to hear it like thunder. I want to hear it rumble across the valley. No, you don't. Read the word. It's here. Read it. This is his word. Watch what happens. God says, Ahaz, ask of me. I'll show you a sign. I'll do a miracle for you. Listen, the word actually means I will rend or crack open the earth and reveal Hades to you if you want, or I'll rend the heavens and show you the glory of God. Ask. Wow. What would you do with such an offer? But Ahaz, verse 12, says, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Doesn't that sound spiritual? I will not ask. I'm not going to test the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then he said, hear now, O house of David. This is Isaiah speaking. What's the word? Put out? That's nice. I would say he's ticked off. He's furious. Listen to Isaiah. You know why? He sees the hypocrisy. Here's Ahaz. He's already made an alliance with a foreign king to trust in him. Listen, I want to encourage you. Do you have a sore throat right now? Have you asked God to take it away? No, I'm not going to ask of the Lord. I'll wait. He's busy. Now, if I have cancer, I'll pray. Do you understand? Listen, don't be an Ahaz. Don't be an Ahaz. No, listen. Ahaz is going, oh, it's okay. I'm not going to bother God with this. Would I test the Lord? First of all, he's lying. He's a hypocrite because he's in need, but he's going to Assyria for help. Are you sick? What is it? It doesn't matter what it is. Listen, our carnality tempts us, and we have thoughts like this, and I think it's offensive to God. God wants you to pray to him. God wants you to speak to him. And you say, no, you know, I'm not going to bother God with my little trivial problems. I'll let him answer the prayers of those who have greater needs than me. What kind of God are you talking about? What kind of God is he? Do you know, have you ever thought of such a thought? That's carnal. First of all, it's hypocritical. It's carnal and it's arrogant. Listen, if you think you're getting a sore throat, Lord, I'd love for you to heal me right now. I don't have time for a sore throat. If this is from you, I receive it. But if it's not, then please heal me. In Jesus' name, amen. And get up, or whatever it is. We've got this thing in our mind that, well, I only bother God with the big stuff. Well, can you imagine? Look, you guys, he told us that we are his children, and he said that he is our father. right? Imagine this. Imagine your kid coming to you and saying, "Dad, my knuckle hurts." Get out of my face, kid. Don't come to me unless you're hemorrhaging. Would you ever say that to a kid? "Dad, I don't feel good." "Don't come to me and tell me that unless you have some serious evidence." You would never do that to your kid. Listen, sometimes problems happens in our lives, and I'm wondering if God is just not saying, "Oh, he hears from a distant land, God, help me." And he just goes, "Jack, it's so great to hear from you. I haven't heard from you for a while. What's going on?" I'm wondering if sometimes difficulties don't come into our lives in such a way where God says, "Oh, it's so good. Listen to them cry out to me. I love those little stinkers. And it's great to have them come into my room." Ahaz says, "Oh, please, Isaiah, I'm not going to test the Lord like this." And Isaiah sees right through it. Listen to what he says. It is powerful. He says, verse 13, "Hear now, O house of David, it is a small thing for you to weary men." Translation, "You make me sick, Ahaz. You think you're pulling the wool over my eyes? You think you're wearying me with that kind of talk? Well, but will you weary God also? Stop acting like this." And that's a very tragic thing, because this guy had opportunity and did not. Listen, he came, by the way, to the throne at the age of 20, Ahaz. That's young. The Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles 28, you can mark it down in your reference, verses 1 to 3, that at the age of 20, when he became king, that he reigned 16 years, and the Bible says he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He was a pagan king, and he adopted things that he had received from pagan nations, pagan gods. And 2 Chronicles 28:3 tells us he burned incense in the valley of Hinnom, and he burned his children in the fire. This king sacrificed his own kids to the pagan gods, the gods of Moloch. Moloch was this chunky, ugly, horrible-looking monster of an idol made out of bronze. I'm standing like this because he's kind of squatty like this. He has arms like this. Really demonic looking face. And he's got his belly, it's cut out. It's open right here. And they would put wood and combustibles inside the belly of the god. And they would get it glowing red hot. And, brass conducts heat tremendously. And so this guy would be glowing. This god would be glowing. People are bowing down, calling out to this god, screaming and hollering. And then, just like King Ahaz did, he takes his young child and places the baby or the young child, we don't know what the age was, doesn't matter, on the arms that are glowing hot. And the baby would roll down into the fire. And Israel or Judah would go crazy. "Oh, Moloch, now give us peace, give us prosperity." And God says, for that, just that alone, God says, I'm going to level you guys for this. Now, what do you think about that? What do you think? Listen, for some of you, you're thinking, "Well, you know, I'm really for social justice." Well, how's that for social justice? You say, "What do you mean?" A lunatic, pagan worshiper, sacrifices his own child to death. And God says, "All right, that's it. I'm going to give this nation a smackdown. You want justice? Are you really a fan of justice? Then you would say, yep, do it, God, do it." And I agree with you. Justice is of the divine nature. You know that. Here's the downside to justice. I don't like when it's coming my way. You don't like it when it's coming your way. Imagine if God were to say, "Yeah, you know what? You've done that for the last time. I'm bringing my justice on you. I'm for justice." "Are you sure?" "Look, biblically, yes, of course, yes, but I want mercy." You say, well, I'm at an impasse here. Justice or mercy? The answer is yes, unless. See, what do you mean, yes, unless? The answer is God is just. All you fans of justice and social justice and all kinds of justice, then listen, don't be an Ahaz. Listen, put your big person pants on and understand something. You can't have situational justice. God is just. You can't pick and choose. And when a person does not repent, will not repent, like Ahaz, he won't trust God. Justice is going to be levied. The only thing, and this is in the nature of God, whereby he will circumnavigate his justice, listen, everybody, is by mercy. By mercy. Mercy retains God's holy, righteous justice, but mercy, when given, is given in a situation where you would say, God, I'm guilty. I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty of that. I'm asking you to forgive me and have mercy on me. You know, God reserves the right to exercise mercy, and he doesn't violate his justice. Aren't you glad? I want God to be merciful to me. If you listen, you do not want to walk up to the throne room of God and say, God on earth, I was a big fan of justice, and so I want you to be just with me. You don't want his justice. You want his mercy. Remember, he was a young 20-year-old when he came to power, and he did that which was wrong in the eyes of God. And look, I want to say this carefully, but I want to say it accurately. It's been well said that youth is never a good thing when it comes to wealth, authority, and power. It's not good to have wealth, authority, and power when you're young. Isaiah had it all. Ahaz had it all. It's a dangerous combination. When somebody who's young has wealth, they don't know what to do with it. They didn't earn it. Came to them. They don't know how to handle it. Remember the rich young ruler came to Jesus? He had a lot of idols in his life. Authority. Young people have a hard time with authority. Authority is a scary thing. Would you agree? Authority is a pretty scary thing. My goodness, our nation's going through a scandal right now because somebody said, I didn't believe anybody had a right to know. And yet this person's a public servant. This is scary. Listen, as a pastor, I'm a church servant. I have certain authorities and it scares me to death. What about you? Are you a controller at your company, or are you a police officer? What are you? Are you a judge? What are you? Do you have certain authorities? The more authority, the scarier it is. Power, youth and power. These are scary things. This was the king of the southern nation. And yet in his youth, he sacrificed his children. It's a wise nation, you guys, that selects for itself experienced leaders. Proven integrity, humble spirit. David was like that at the beginning of his kingship, King David. When King David became full of himself, he got in big trouble. What's the old saying? Power corrupts, but absolute power corrupts absolutely. God's model of authority and wealth and power is servanthood. I want you to think about that for a second. I'm totally going off my notes here now when I say this. I think you know by now if you come here, I'm not a fan of ministries making demands. Of ministries taking advantage of people. Ministries where Everyone who's giving, puts me in a jet and my pilots fly me to my latest gig in my $3,000 suits. And I have a limousine. I'm a servant of God. Oh, really? Something's wrong here. You understand what I'm saying? Something's seriously wrong. When somebody shows up on the scene, or when somebody says, I'll come and speak, but I need to have this kind of drink in my hotel room, this kind of a hotel, this kind of desserts, this kind of person is not going to speak here. It's not going to happen. Not while I'm here. It's not going to happen. It's a bizarre thing. Watch out for authority. It's my opinion, Lisa and I, we talk about this a lot because we see how it ruins people. Lisa and I will often talk about how very few people that we've experienced in life, very few people can handle authority. Very few. And you know people are unable to handle it when they get authority and then a week later they're bossing people around. That's not Jesus. That's not the Spirit of God. They can't handle it. Well, because I said so, that's why. That's not God. You need to submit to me. I'm a servant of God. Wait a minute. Isn't that the other way around? Aren't you supposed to serve me? Listen, pastors are on staff here to serve you. Look, let's be honest. The calling is from God. Pastors and ministers and deacons and people who sign up to serve are saying, I'm decreasing. This is how we practically increase Christ. I decrease as he increases. That's what John the Baptist said. And how do you do that? By serving the flock. You pour your heart out for the flock. You take care of the flock, not yourself.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a message called God's Word is Always True, Part 2. Thanks for taking the time to listen today. And let's not be an Ahaz, but instead, let's put our trust in God and in His Word. God's Word is Always True, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, The Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before He was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, it's God's grace that allows us to come to Him. It's not through our own efforts, but through faith that we can receive eternal life in heaven. Most of us as Christians already know this, but still, we often try to earn our salvation through our works, or we forget what it truly means to know God and His plan for our lives. That's why Pastor Jack has a tab at his website called Know God. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. The Know God tab provides specific information on what your commitment to Christ is all about. The Know God tab is also a great witnessing tool for sharing Christ with others. It tells you exactly what happened when you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and how to move forward in your life as a believer. And if you've recently made the decision to follow Jesus Christ, we'd like to hear about it. Click on the tab called Connect at the reallifewithjackhibbs.org website, and be sure to let us know of your step of faith so we can praise the Lord along with you. That's the Connect tab at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And by the way, you know, we don't ask for money here on this program, but we do want to let you know that this ministry is supported by our listeners, folks that listen to this radio show. Lots of ways to donate. If you feel led from the Lord to go ahead and donate, why don't you do that? Go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Donate tab. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.